Our gospel reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. You may stand if you wish. Thank you. Jesus said to the 11 and those with them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was called to come here as pastor at UDLC back in 2012, and I had to bid farewell to my last church, a wise mentor friend of mine recommended that I read the classic book called Running Through the Thistles. Running Through the Thistles, about the best way to take one's leave from a pastoral ministry. This little book has been so helpful to so many pastors over the years. It has been republished at least 11 times since it was first published in 1978. The odd title comes from a childhood experience by the author Roy Oswald, and he tells the story this way. He says, "When I was a boy, age 6, growing up in rural Saskatchewan, my two older brothers and I would often decide to walk home from school over the fields rather than along the road. It was shorter, to be sure, but occasionally we would come up upon enormous thistle patches. I cannot remember seeing anything like it since, but those thistle patches sometimes used to extend for a half mile or more. In places, the prickly patches would be 50 feet to 100 feet wide, in other places, 10 to 20 feet. The rest of the field, lying fallow in the summer, was tilled soil. We rarely wore shoes to school in the summertime, hence our dilemma, how to cross these thistle patches in bare feet. We did have the choice of walking around them, but since it was the end of the day, we were all tired and hungry. We were anxious to get home, and Mother usually had a snack treat for us to tide us over till supper. To walk around the patch would take us way out of our way. The other option was to back up and run through the narrowest part at full speed. Being the youngest with the least speed and the smallest leg span, I always objected. I was usually overruled, however, by my two brothers, who would then each take me by one hand and run me through the thistle patch. I can still vividly remember the experience running full speed and bare feet across 20 feet of prickly thistles, yelping in pain all the way through. When the three of us reached the black soil on the other side, we would immediately hit the dirt and start pulling out the few thistle ends that stuck in our feet. I had four briars get me. How many did you get? Was a sample of our post-agony conversation. His point in the book is that while this strategy might work for getting home as quickly as possible and getting home to mom's snacks, rushing through things doesn't work in times of pastoral transition. Rather, what is required is time and space to emotionally process things, to let some things go, to express our gratitude, to grieve together, and to bless one another. And leave-taking has been on my mind a lot this past month, with our pastoral associate, Lindsay Bates, finishing up with us. And she just graduated from Princeton Seminary yesterday. And I tried to take that lesson from Oswald and make sure we had enough time and opportunity to thank and bless and say the things we needed to say and do before she left. And I thank all of you for your grace and generosity and kind words and for coming to Zoom coffee hours and God on tap and recognizing her in our worship, sending cards and more. to wish her well. These relationships that we develop in the church are so important, so deep, and in so many ways so intimate, even when we spend much of our time together on Zoom and the live stream. And we need time to honor those relationships, especially when we have been through something as intense as a pastoral transition and a pandemic. As we said to Lindsay last week on our last worship planning meeting, we've never done a pandemic without you. This intense experience makes our bonds even stronger and leave-taking that much harder. And I have to say that I am sad that she is moving on, and it's going to take some getting used to. I've been thinking about all of this in light of our readings for today and the story of Jesus' ascension. As you know, Jesus rose on Easter morning, and then Luke says he spent 40 days with the disciples, appearing to them in different ways and teaching them. Luke tells the story of Jesus appearing to a couple of the disciples on the road to Emmaus and then appearing to all the disciples in Jerusalem. In Matthew, Jesus gives the disciples the great commission to go and proclaim the good news to all the world, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John tells the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples and then to doubting Thomas, and then by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, serving them all breakfast. I think that's my favorite. And now, 40 days after his resurrection, it is time for Jesus to return to heaven. Just think of the intense experiences that they had been through together. 3 years together of changing lives and changing the world, from the lowest of the lows to the highest of the highs, from getting it really right to getting it really wrong, and all the while being loved and accepted by Jesus, and living and loving and serving in his presence. It must have been such an electric experience to see his power and compassion and to learn from him. And now they have to say goodbye. And what a moment to have gone through all of this together and now see Jesus, their teacher, friend, mentor, and savior, rising up into the clouds. Luke, the author of Acts, writes that as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" Once he had ascended out of sight, the two angels say that you can't stay here in this place. In this moment, you have to move on and ahead. And they didn't know yet, but they were about to realize their destinies at Pentecost with the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And so this week, I've been very much thinking about the story of the ascension as a story about saying goodbye and moving forward with our lives. And I think this is not unlike where we find ourselves today. Collectively, we rejoice that thanks to vaccines, the worst of the pandemic seems to be subsiding, and we are all joyfully returning to normal. In this moment, there is a temptation, I think, to run through the thistles and launch into whatever is coming next. And this is a good thing. We have earned it. But we also need to process our profound experience of this time together, the grief and the sadness, the learning and the gifts, and to be intentional about what we can let go, what we want to keep, and to capture what we have learned about ourselves and each other and the world. Individually, it is always a temptation to run through the thistles in the other parts of our lives as well. Maybe it's to avoid dealing with something in our past or something that's happening right now. Maybe because we're so excited about what's coming next. We run through the thistles thinking it will be a way for us to get away from it or get to it, to arrive somewhere else as quickly as possible. But we wind up with briars in our feet and unprocessed and unexamined and unresolved experiences and feelings, and thus never quite escape what it is that we're fleeing. It leaves little room for our feelings and emotions to understand and process what we've experienced, to integrate it and carry it forward in healthy and joyful ways. And it leaves little room for grace, In his book, Oswald quotes the great 20th century theologian Paul Tillich, who said this, "We cannot transform our lives unless we allow them to be transformed by that stroke of grace. It happens or it does not happen. And certainly it does not happen if we try to force it upon ourselves, just as it shall not happen so long as we think in our self-complacency that we have no need of it. Grace strikes us when we are in great pain and restlessness. It strikes us when we walk through the dark valley of a meaningless and empty life. It strikes us when we feel that our separation is deeper than usual, because we have violated another life, a life which we loved or from which we were estranged. It strikes us when our disgust for our own being, our indifference, our weakness, our hostility, and our lack of direction and composure have become intolerable to us. It strikes us when year after year the longed-for perfection of life does not appear, when the old compulsions reign within us as they have for decades, when despair destroys all joy and courage. Sometimes at that moment, a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is though a voice were saying, 'You are accepted. You are accepted. Accepted by that which is greater than you, and the name of which you do not know. Do not ask me for the name now, perhaps you will find it later. Do not try to do anything now, perhaps you will do much later. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you are accepted.' If that happens to us," he says, "we experience grace. After such an experience, we may not be better than before, and we may not believe more than before, but everything is transformed. In that moment, grace conquers sin and reconciliation bridges the gulf of estrangement, and nothing is demanded of this experience. No religious or moral or intellectual presupposition. Nothing but acceptance." You are accepted. We are accepted. In the midst of things that we find it hard to accept, to reconcile and understand, grace finds us. In the midst of doubt, regret, and fear, grace finds us. In the midst of running through the thistles to escape our past or find a new future, grace finds us. It will find us wherever we are and whatever is happening. But if we can trust that grace, maybe we don't have to run. Maybe the briars on our feet are not necessary. Maybe that grace can allow us to be still and know that God is God and that is enough. That we don't have to rush, that we can honor our feelings, our thoughts, and experiences and integrate them into our lives rather than cutting them off. After the disciples had watched Jesus go back into heaven, they returned to Jerusalem together. They waited together and prayed together and called a new disciple together. And only then did the Holy Spirit fall upon them and allow them to speak in languages that others would understand, taking the time to reflect on their own experience and taking the time for us to reflect on our own experience, praying on it and listening for God can allow us to use our experience as a healing balm and a source of hope for others. Finally, in our reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he prays over that community, and I think it's a good prayer for us as we, all of us, in one way or another, are making our way home. And I'll conclude with that prayer. "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know him, so that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know what is the hope to which he has called us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Amen."